Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and happy pre-Memorial Weekend, one of my favorite holiday weekends of each and every calendar year. A great, great weekend. I know many of you are going to be going to the beach. You're going to be going on vacation. You're going to be going on family. Some of you are going to be producing, some of you are going to be taking some time off, and I want to welcome everyone to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call 2016. I have a very unique call for you. I've never specifically covered the topic tonight the way I'm going to cover the topic, and tonight's call is Overcoming an Addiction, Addressing, Understanding, Releasing, and Letting Go. So I'm going to cover that in depth so you can have a better understanding of why you do what you do. Most importantly, why you avoid changing. I will cover a few quick announcements and move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Next Saturday, a week from this coming Saturday, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be a fabulous event. I want to thank my friend and client, Ryan Graham, for hosting the event for me. It will be right at the airport, the Marriott Airport, at the Atlanta Airport. It's going to be a great event. On Thursday, Friday, Saturday, June 9th and 10th, my Breakthroughs to Success. Now, this will be my anniversary event. I started this event back in 2000. So this will be the 16-year anniversary of Breakthroughs to Success. Back in 2013, I had my 100th anniversary of that event. So each and every year, more and more people come, transform, and breakthrough. Breakthroughs is a unique product that comes specifically with one-on-one coaching and is not a product that can be purchased. It is available only as part of your coaching package. And it is it's a life-changing event would be not doing it justice. I'm going to cover a few of the places where I'm going to be speaking in the summer and fall, then we'll move into the inspirational portion. I'll be in White Plains, New York on June 18th. There's so many of them, I'm just going to blow right through them. June 25th, Orlando, Florida. July 9th, Bozeman, Montana. If you've never been to Big Sky Country, it is a must. July 16th, I'll be in San Francisco, California, specifically Pleasant, and that's in the East Bay. July 23rd, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. July 30th, Los Angeles, specifically Marina Del Rey. August 20th, Albany. August 27th. Now, I was going to be in Philadelphia in October, but there was a change. I could not get the room I wanted. August 27th, I will be in Philadelphia. That is the weekend before Labor Day. September 8th, 9th, and 10th, Breakthroughs to Success, the third of the year. September 17th, Clark, New Jersey with Don Ferrantino. September 24th, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. That's about an hour from Boston. October 1st, Milwaukee with Jeremy Angle. October 15th, Columbia, South Carolina, a great event. Carlotta Davis, thank you very much for your second event of the year. October 29th, Bozeman, Montana. That is a beautiful city. Then November 3rd, 4th, and 5th will be my protege weekend. November 19th, Weehawken, New Jersey. December 8th, 9th, and 10th, Breakthroughs to Success. Now, those are the present events that are on my schedule. I'll be filling in the few dates that I do have left in the very near present. If you are serious about taking your game to the next level and want to learn more about how to become a master connector, a master prospector, I will be hosting my second Prospecting Clinic 2.0 Prospecting Clinic beginning on Monday, June 6th. There was a little confusion. I said it was June 4th. It is Monday, June 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. I will be doing four consecutive Mondays back-to-back. You may purchase that product by going directly to prospectingclinic.com. You will also receive a series of downloads, script books, and access in to the Prospecting Clinic group page. In the group page, also a lot of great content is disseminated and a great place to connect with many of your connectors that are learning the skills of closing. I will also have some great benefits and features that I'll be offering as part of that clinic. Now, as I said, I hosted this clinic earlier in the year. I had rave reviews. People got to see the art of ease and the art of being able to ask questions in a sequence, how to schedule an appointment, how to qualify a lead for your time, how to let go of someone, how to also see that a large percent of the people that say they're looking for a business aren't really committed and or serious, and how to diplomatically qualify someone for a benefit, product, feature, company, or a Dream. So you'll have access to all of that content on June 6th. If you're serious about taking your game to the next level, I am not going to be traveling this weekend. This is one of the few weekends that I am not traveling. If you'd like to take advantage of my free 15-minute coaching offers, I'll be conducting free coaching on Friday and parts of Saturday and Sunday. If you would like to find out more about that or take advantage of that service and you're serious about taking your game to the next level, you can contact me on Facebook with your phone number and be specific about what you're seeking in your transformation. You can also call me directly at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. With that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, tonight's call is a call I know a lot about. I have been in recovery of my own addictions for going on 27-plus year. This call is dedicated to having a better understanding of cause and effect of why you do what you do and why many people in your circle of influence are emotionally addicted, why many people that you know and know of have codependent issues, have chemical dependency issues, have relapse issues, have procrastination issues, and avoidance tendencies. Now, when we think of an addiction, we typically think of alcohol. Well, addictions are a much broader and wider topic than specifically being an alcoholic. Myself being in recovery, I had many challenges with my own control. I would overwhelm myself, and be in control of being out of control. I was able to eventually address the cause that created the effect, or at least the very surface of it, without really understanding why I was an addict, not only an addict, but a chronic addict. I was able to address my addiction by hitting a place called rock bottom, the most overrated place that you could possibly land to address the cause that creates the effect of what you do. Now, that syndrome is called the pain is great enough syndrome. That is one of the most overrated ways to address an addiction. Now, rock bottom is usually a very lonely, desolate place. It means that you end up there by being a pathological liar. The biggest person you've lied to is yourself. You've taken yourself all the way to as far as you can possibly go. Oftentimes, you'll end up in jail, DUIs, and other myriad of situations. It also shows up in your physical form. You can end up weighing 300, 400, 500 pounds. Addictions can also ruin and sabotage many of your relationships and or your ability to be relatable. Addictions can cause divorces, fired from jobs, and multiple situations. Certain addictions can get you arrested when you can become so pathological as addiction. You steal, you cheat, you do things that you would never do in your right mind. You end up in blackouts. In some addictions, you can even take other people's lives because you don't even know what you're doing, and you can have vehicular manslaughter and all the other situations that go along with being a chronic addict. Nothing good comes from an addiction. Now, most of you know this. Most of you on tonight's call are in some level of letting go. And letting go is a whole other topic. But specifically in tonight, as you begin to understand the cause that creates the effect, the why I do what I do, as you become aware, you can start to raise your emotional energy. Your etheric emotional energy begins to raise, your emotional frequency, your vibration. And as you start to change the way you've been changing, then you can start to transcend your levels of consciousness. But when you're in an addictive state, you're in a very low level of emotional energy. You'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill what you're neurochemically and emotionally addicted to. Addictions are not hereditary. There's a myth that addictions are, there's a DNA link to it. Well, there isn't. Addictions are typically based on events that shape your feelings. So let's take a look at some more common addictions that will affect you as a business owner. If you're a business owner and you have avoidance tendencies and you continue to avoid letting go, you continue to avoid changing, and then you play this game with yourself, approach and avoid. You walk up to the business, then walk around it. You seduce yourself through the shiny objects of the business by the events, the rallies, the seminars, the conventions. The connectability, you love the events. You go to the events, you buy the books, the downloads, the podcast. You listen to CDs in your car. You're inspired. You go to an event, you share a testimony. You're in the game. You tell yourself, oh my God, this is it, baby. This is it. This is the last hurrah. This is the final frontier. This is it. I'm in. And then all of a sudden Monday comes around and you find yourself right back in the emotional state, oftentimes overwhelmed, oftentimes emotionally addicted, avoiding letting go, avoiding changing. Why do you do that? Because number one, success would contradict your struggle. If you've been a noble struggler, if you have had challenges emotionally, financially, or any other relationships in a multitude of situations, well, initially, success would contradict your struggle. Unequivocally, you can overcome that situation. But if you have a series of events that have led you to low self-esteem, and the energy that you transmit and transmute comes from anxiety, which is anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, then you will perpetuate a set of emotions that will lead you into inaction. Now, one of the biggest situations that baffles many people is they can be a maintenance addict and maintain a level of life, but never really reach the promised land. Now, here's what that looks like. It means that you have a series of challenges that leads to low self-esteem, but you have an education. You have an education, you have a trade, you have skills. You can go out and actually get a job or perhaps start a small business, and that business or that job can become your identity. So for a certain level of your day, you can focus on that task at hand. You can tiptoe quietly through that job, and you can marginally get by. You might even excel in that job, but if that job becomes your identity, then that's who you are. Then if you lose that job one day, then you have no identity. Or you tell yourself you hate this job because you don't get compensated what the free market will bear. You're getting paid for what the time of that job is worth. You're getting paid what that job is worth. You're getting paid. You're not getting paid for your value. You're getting paid for what someone else dictates you what you are worth. And then your right brain, your limbic brain screams, I want out of here. Well, you do, because you realize there's no spirituality in that particular situation. But you're able to maintain that job because you're a maintenance addict. A large percent of the population, that's what they are. They're a maintenance addict. They can maintain a semblance of life. They can tiptoe quietly through life. They can get by at sometimes higher levels, but spiritually, they're not evolved. And if that is you, this is what you're on the call for tonight, so you can have a better understanding of this, why I do what I do. You can't let go of what you stay in denial of. If you have an extra 10, 15, 20 pounds, and it just won't come off, it doesn't matter whether you detox, cleanse, fast, get a personal trainer, get a spiritual guru, go up to Machu Picchu, you climb the pyramids. I mean, you can search the planet, but if that 10 or 30 pounds doesn't come off, then there's something going on in you neurologically, in your unconscious subconscious that you are holding on to, that you're emotionally addicted to. Events shape your feelings. Feelings become a mood. Mood become an identity. And then that identity can become your personality, because your personal reality is your personality. But if you continue to say, I don't know why I do this, my whole childhood was a blur. And then you meet someone like me, and I go, well, where'd you go to grade school? Well, who's your third grade teacher? Can you name one or two of your classmates that were in the second, third, fourth, fifth grade? Then all of a sudden, I find out your whole childhood wasn't a blur. Your whole childhood is your childhood, and part of your childhood you've repressed. Now, if you repress an event and live in a repressed emotion, then that's the type of situation that will lead to an addiction. If you live in the I don't know why I do what I do syndrome, and then all of a sudden you eat the cheesecake, you go to happy hour, and you black out, or you go shopping and you have a list, and all of a sudden you've spent $600, $700 on shiny objects, and then you take them back the next day because you feel guilty, and that's a situation. Or if you're a compulsive online spender, and you have to hide the credit cards, you have to hide the statements from your spouse, significant other, now you're really living in denial. If you're one of these people who have to sneak food in and out of your apartment or your house, or you have to take the wrappers and wad them up and stick them down in the bottom of the waste can, or you actually do things like I did, I would spend a great deal of time figuring out how I was going to sneak the bottles out of my own apartment because I didn't want someone to see me throwing a black plastic bag filled of glass bottles into the trash bin over wall because they might break and someone might hear them. I didn't want the same liquor salespeople to see me buying 2 days in a row. This is the kind of control that an addict has. An addict always wants a little more. So in breaking down your specific situation, you'd have to get clear on why you do what you do. A large percent of you on tonight's call are not being compensated what you are worth. You're not achieving the value that you're capable of. You're playing small. You're in your head. You're overwhelmed. You're processing. You're neglecting yourself. You have critical behavior. You tell stories to yourself. You get overwhelmed, and then you approach and avoid, meaning you procrastinate. That's what avoid is. So a lot of people avoid changing. They avoid making their bed. Well, naturally, I'm going to get it in it tonight. Well, unfortunately, that's the first opportunity you get to have discipline in a day. Well, you neglect that. And if you take a look around at your house tonight, your closets tonight, your car tonight, the way you live, your office, your desk, you'll find that a lot of you are so overwhelmed that you live in an overwhelmed emotional state, emotionally addicted to the chaos and the drama that you are in. And that chaos and the drama that you're in, it keeps you from ever having any clear intentions and clear commitments that will allow you to the land of promise. Now, LOP, if you want to enter the land of promise, or LOP, and loser on parade, that's up to you. But if you want to continue to tiptoe quietly through life and arrive at your grave safely and die the greatest pain, the pain of regret and the pain of resentment. See, being in resentment is an addiction because in Latin, resentment means over and over. That's what an addict does. An addict does the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, living in denial, wondering why they do what they do. So where do you start? You start with rigorous honesty. You become really clear on why you do what you do. You start to commit one day at a time to changing your behavior. You start with the simplest common denominator, you, and you become accountable for who you are. You step out of denial and you stop lying to yourself. You stop blaming other people. You stop blaming your upline. You stop blaming your placement in the particular spot that you're in. You stop blaming your sales manager. You stop blaming your spouse. You stop blaming your parents. And you start to own your feelings. It means you become accountable. Perhaps for the first time in your life, you have a better understanding of what happened in your childhood. You have a better understanding of what happened in grade school. You have a better understanding of what happened to you once you entered junior high. You have a better understanding of how you've been violated, who violated you, who neglected you, who left you behind, who rejected you, who abandoned you, and you get real clear on what happened to you. You become so clear that you have a better understanding and you begin to separate yourself from the events that shaped your feelings. You start to own the events rather than the events owning you. You no longer hold other people responsible for your feelings. You may have had a bad childhood, but that doesn't mean you're going to have a bad adulthood. You're going to have a bad adulthood because you drag your bad childhood into your adulthood, and then you become not only a victim of your circumstances, you become a victim of your thoughts. You become a victim of your feelings. And then in that kind of energy, you'll attract your reality, people and situations, to fulfill your low self-esteem and your disappointment. Now, when you begin to own who you are, and you stop lying to yourself, and I got to get out of this relationship. Yeah, I got to get out of this job. Yeah, Y-E-H, yeah, I do. Now, when you start to say, yes, I'm committed, yes, I'm going to let go of this. Yes, I have a commitment date. Yes, I'm no longer going to be like this, instead of no, I can't do this. See, yes is an affirmation. It's affirmative. Yes is a commitment. Yes is a decision. Yeah isn't. Yeah, I got to do something about this. Yeah, I'll do something about it after the holiday. That's what I'll do. If you're really committed, you do it now. Now, what's interesting, I've directed hundreds and thousands of people to 12-step programs, and here's consistently what I get back. I don't have time to go to one of those things. And oftentimes, the people that go to them go, oh, wow, I went to one of those freak shows. That is a bunch of Christians sitting around talking about God. Oh, no, I can't be doing that. That is not for me. Oh, my God, those people were freaks. All they talked about was their addiction. I can't do that. That's what a lot of people do. They will justify. They will justify. They will analyze. They will come up with a reason why they can't. All you require is one reason why you're committed. If you don't commit, you're not committed. You're interested. This is one of those black and white situations in the world. There's not a lot of them. But you're either committed or you're interested. And it shows up in your success, and it shows up in your addictions. And for you to ever live the good life, you're going to have to let go of the bad life. The bad life that keeps you perpetuating a set of feelings, doing the same thing over and over, wondering why you are where you are. If you don't understand why you are where you are where you are because of where you are. And it's not about your upline, your crossline, your bottom line. It's not about your sales manager. It's not about the owner of the company. It's not about your past. It's about you at this point. Because yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, and you can't control tomorrow. If you have to know tomorrow's answers, if you have to know all the things that are going to happen, then you'll end up in your logical, egoic, analytical brain. You'll end up in the neocortex of your brain trying to control the control that keeps you out of control. And if that's part of your addictive state, that means that you'll avoid. Chronic avoiders are chronic processors. Chronic avoiders are chronic analyzers. You may have some of them in your team. These are the people that have to know all the facts, figures, documentation. These are typically the flaw finders of the universe, the world, the planet, your organization, your culture, your team, and sometimes your significant other. These are the people who are chronic starters and chronic avoiders. Now, if that is you, a chronic starter and a chronic avoider, then that is an addiction. This is shiny object syndrome. You're so brilliant being brilliant that you can't monetize your brilliance. Unfortunately, that's a large percent of the population. See, and a lot of people should. I should hire you. I should hire you to be my coach. You don't understand. My situation's unique. You know, I had something happen to me last year, and, you know, I just can't come across that kind of money. Well, unfortunately, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your same low self-esteem and your same commitment level. The problem with being an addict is multifold, but one of the most challenging problems of being an addict is you can't commit, so how can you attract people who do commit? Well, you won't. See, you commit one day at a time to the simplest common denominator, change. And when you break down the simplest common denominator, change, it means choice. And when you start to choose, and you start to choose reliably, you start to choose from committing, you start to choose in deciding, and you begin to change your self-talk, not the self-talk that says, wow, I don't know if I can control this tomorrow. What am I going to do when the holidays come around? Well, you'll address the holidays when they come around, but since the holidays haven't come around, address today, address now. An addict gets way out ahead of himself. Addicts live in shiny object syndrome. They live in the Sir Galahad and Queen Guinevere complex. Sir Galahad and Queen Guinevere is someday going to run in and rescue them. They're going to win the lottery. They're big deal chasers. Something stupendous. Something big is going to happen. They're they live in a lot of big deals or big deal chasers. Something big is going to happen to them. Oh, man. And they talk in big goals. They have big goals. My goals are so big. You know, I'm going to be a billionaire. I'm going to be a multi-millionaire. Well, that's great, but you got to have millionaire habits. And unfortunately, most addicts have very, very low self-esteem and poor habits. Poor habits are fostered by low self-esteem because underneath low self-esteem is the belief factor. And if you have addiction challenges, what it means is you really don't believe in yourself. Your low self-esteem is a direct reflection of the events that shaped your feelings. As you start to let go of the people who violated you, hurt you, neglected you, abandoned you, reject you, told you you're not good enough, put you in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. And if that is you, and you also have to learn to let go of your codependent situations, those are the situations that you do too much for others, over-obligate yourself, over-give, set people up to disappoint you. Yes, I'm hitting a few nerves here. These are when you're in this situation, you do too much with others to fulfill your low self-esteem because you're ego needs people to need you. And when you come from that kind of low energy, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to live in a very low law of the lid emotionally and financially. Now, unfortunately, addictions create this, a very, very not only low self-esteem, but it also affects your confidence, your competence, and your ability to think. And then typically you require someone to think for you. That's why you'll have a job. And then when you leave your job and you start a business, well, then you're going to be overwhelmed because you don't have anyone telling you what to do. And this is why so many people ask, how do I, how do I, how do I, how do I let go? It's not how do I, it's why don't you? When am I? Are you ready to? Can you commit? And you're going to do this typically when the pain is great enough. And you do not want to come from that kind of situation. When you're emotionally addicted and physically addicted and neurochemically addicted, then you have created a dependency. And then you have to depend on others. You have to depend on food. You end up depending on credit. You end up depending on relatives to support you. You become a dependent. When you become independent, you become independent of your addiction, meaning you can let go of the control that keeps you out of control, controlling the control that overwhelms you. A large part of your addictive state is about your control and about being overwhelmed, because the neocortex of your brain is so overwhelmed neurochemically that it requires some substance, some shiny object, someone else, some situation to repress a self-esteem based on an event that you continue to hold on to. And when you tell yourself you don't know why you do what you do, then you're living in a repressed, unconscious state, not aware of why you do what you do. Then your reticular activating system will attract people, events, and situations to fulfill the situations that you live in, and then you operate in auto-suggestion. You don't even know you're avoiding. You don't know the words that come out of your mouth. The most common words that an addict will use are kind of, sort of, I guess, I don't know, I'm not sure. The reason that those words are used, because that fosters an addiction. Those kinds of words are noncommittal, indecisive. And if your language style is laced with that kind of communication, and you're also, if you've become aware of this through my coaching and through personal development, self-improvement, recovery, but most of you have learned this through me because this is what I teach, is the language of success and then the language of addiction. A large percent of the population will use, once again, these words, kinda, sorta, I don't know, and most importantly, guess. Now, when you go out in the world tomorrow, be attentive. You don't pay attention. You don't. It's not something you buy. It's a be state. Be attentive to how many words people use that are noncommittal in their language structure. Watch how many people use need and guess over and over. These are words of noncommittal. And now, your brain doesn't separate fact and fiction. It does exactly what you teach it to do. And as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed and avoiding, the biggest collateral damage that an addiction creates is avoidance. It keeps you from your dreams. It keeps you from action. Keeps you from moving forward. Keeps you from prospecting. Keeps you from lead generation. Keeps you from social media because of the story you tell yourself. The stories you tell yourself are going to be based on not being good enough. And the stories you tell yourself about not being good enough are going to be about the people who put that thought in your head. And if you grow up with people who are critical, passive-aggressive, aggressive, if you're violated on the playground, hazed, abused, sexually molested and or traumatized, were compared to other people in your circle of influence, parents, people in your classes, and you don't measure up, then this becomes part of your neurochemical dependency. Your brain creates a situation that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm not sure, I guess, kinda, sorta. This becomes your language style that fosters your avoidance. So how do I let go? You let go by, number one, the pain is great enough. You let go by a decision. You let go by a commitment. This is the simplest common denominator that you begin to understand about an addiction. Rock bottom is overrated. You do not have to hit that. But you also must have some of this in your wheelhouse. You must have clearly defined goals that are bigger than your problems. If your problems are bigger than your clarity, if you don't have any clarity, if your problems are bigger than your purpose, your goals, or an outcome that you seek, then you will continue to, through auto-suggestion, revert back to an emotionally addicted state. That is called a relapse. And chronic addicts chronically relapse. And if this is you, if you can't release the last 10 pounds, if you can't release the 50 pounds, the 100 pounds, if you continue to stay in debt, if you seduce yourself into believing, I'm going to pay my debt off, but you keep accruing more debt, or you live in a lot of liability debt, you don't understand your mortgage, you don't understand how much your money is going toward interest, you pay very little on principal because you live in denial, you don't understand what the interest rate on your house is, you don't know what's going out on it, you don't understand what the overhead is in your household. See, many people are chronic money addicts. They spend most of their life using their money to pay interest and to pay taxes, and then they end up not having enough money to pay for their own funeral. Unfortunately, that's a large percent of society. About 9 out of 10 of my clients that I interview don't understand their mortgage, they don't understand their interest, they don't understand closing costs, they don't understand what a title company is, and they don't understand how much of their money is going toward interest. If that is you, then you have money addictions. You have money denial. That means that you are completely and emotionally unaware. Then it will be very challenging for you to ask for a commitment, because if your own dialogue with money, you'll feel uncomfortable asking other people to commit their word to a business where they can create money. Money ends up showing up in 12-step programs in a program called Debtors Anonymous. Debtors Anonymous has a really, really good book that I recommend. The name of the book is called Making Peace with, I'm sorry, the name of the book is Your Money or Your Life by Joe Dominguez and Vicki Robin. That's typically the 12-step book that the Debtors Anonymous uses. I also like to refer a book called Making Peace with Money by Mundus. That is an absolutely fabulous book. And I put a book cover out on last Friday's Facebook called The Little Money Bible by Stuart Wild. You should have several books on how to change your dialogue with money, the spirituality of money, how to create, how to attract, how to be and stay comfortable with the art of creating money and creating wealth. Because if you don't, then you will become dependent on lending institutions to keep you in debt. If you have children about to approach college, well, then you're entering into the debt cycle. And if you have more month left at the end of your money, that's because you're a chronic overcommitter, a chronic overspender, and you don't really understand why you do what you do. The most chronic addictions typically are money and food, not alcohol and drugs. They come second. There are more addicts who are chronically addicted to money, which i.e. debting, and chronically addicted to food. Now let's take a look at the food addiction, which is a really, really interesting situation. When you were a child, if you have food challenges, if you carry excess weight, if you are an addicted stuffer, it's going to be a direct reflection of someone in your circle of influence that introduced you and indoctrinated you into food. It's usually a mother, a grandmother. It also comes from family situations. A lot of food is used as prosperity. We don't have a lot of money, but we have a lot of food. Food is also used if you don't clean your plate. You're not showing your respect and your love. So if you're not stuffing yourself, then you're not lovable. I mean, this starts to create in the neocortex of your brain a dichotomy. It starts to create a contradiction. So I have to clean everything up so I'm lovable. So that's what I will do. And you, as a small boy or a small girl, you weren't walking to the refrigerator open. You couldn't reach the handle, first of all. You couldn't reach the cabinets. Someone in your family indoctrinated you into sugar and the joys of sugar, desserts, and all these situations. And then yeast is also a big situation. So yeast and sugar are the active ingredients that create alcohol. So you're already well versed in this situation. Then at feast, family gatherings, and all these situations, and then we're conditioned to have 3 and 4 course meals. We're conditioned to eat 3 times a day. And so all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're a glutton for your own punishment. And then you take a look at what the food industry has done over the annals of the last 130 years. Go back 130 years where there's no cryovacing, there was no refrigeration, it was blocks of ice. They were not grocery stores, they were general stores. Sugar was absolutely a delicacy. It typically wasn't used except for coffee, and then delicacies would be pies. People would go to yard sales, barn gatherings, Sunday socials and situations like that. Sugar was not readily available. Groceries were bought in the general store. They were taken home in buckboards. I mean, you have to factor what it was like back then. A lot of meat was smoked and hung in the smokehouse. Meat was slaughtered. It was fresh. Situations were organic. There weren't pesticides in all these situations. And then you take a look at the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry. There was not all the pharmaceutical drugs available in drugstores back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, on up into the 60s is when they start to become prevalent. And then all the amphetamines, psychotropic drugs, barbiturates, heroin derivatives start to get passed out because most of society is diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and being bipolar. These become new phenomenons where the drug industry lobbies for this, and all of a sudden practically everyone is walking around on Prozac, Xanax, Ambien, Adderall, and all these types of psychotropic barbiturates and methamphetamines, heroin derivatives, a large percent of society. And many people go, well, I'm not an addict of those. Those are doctor prescribed. Okay, that's right. They're doctor prescribed. So you have to take a good look. And once again, cause and effect. So take a look at anxiety and depression. So it's, you know, I have depression issues. I can't get out of bed. I have a situation going on in my brain. I have a chemical imbalance. Well, this is what a lot of what we were told. Some of that is true. Some of it's facts. Some of it's fiction. You have to decide what you want to believe. Because when you start to change your belief, then your sense of certainty changes. When you will not be denied, there's a lot that you can overcome. But when you live in a hazy wave, overwhelmed, emotionally addicted state, your ability to decide and create judgment calls is typically not very clear because you live in a sense of uncertainty. That in that situation, it's very challenging for you to intuit, to trust your intuition, to trust your feelings. But if your innocence was robbed as a child by a violation, if your innocence was robbed as a child because you were put in a position to become a grown-up, if you have to take on the role of in the household of the man, the woman taking care of your mother, if you have to go out and you actually go to work, get a job, and then donate your money to the family, so that means that you're going to give your money away. This becomes a chronic situation that happens. Because you become a chronic giver. This becomes an identity. And then all of a sudden, one day you show up in a business and you want to be prosperous, but you don't understand why the people that show up in your team are not independent, they're codependent, and they rely on you to take care of them because that's the situation you set up from the outgo because you want people to rely on you. And then there's no independence, it's codependence, and that's the kind of team you have. And you'll graduate up to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, perhaps five figures a month, but you'll reach the law of the lid where you can't outproduce your own control. And then you look around, you have no one that's independent because you have a team that's codependent. I know a lot about that because I recreated and regenerated that over about a six-year period. I didn't attract any highly productive self-starters. Most of the people relied on me to do the meetings, the events, the three-way calls, the training calls, the closings, and all of those situations. And that does not create that does not create independence. So as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, what does that actually mean? It means you spend a lot of time processing, analyzing, because what you do control by being in control is the outcome. When you let go of the outcome and there is no control and you're not consumed with the result, even though this sounds contradictory because you require a result, yes, I understand that, and you require teammates, you require results, you require production, but you can't get so anxious about the outcome that affects your ability to listen, hear, sense, touch, feel. It affects your ability to trust your feelings. If you check out mid-sentence because you're concerned with what to say, who to be, what to do, you don't want to make a mistake, get judged, get in trouble. This is a lot of part of your addictive state. A lot of your addictive state and your chronic avoidance is based on events that you got in trouble. Even though you didn't do anything wrong, it means you got in trouble because you had a passive-aggressive relative, father, mother, someone in your circle of influence who no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough. So what you do isn't good enough becomes I'm not good enough. That's how your brain takes a picture of an event and creates meaning out of it. So that's what that meant. It means that if I'm not good enough, the rest of my life's relegated to not being good enough. So I'll be overwhelmed, repress my feelings of not being good enough, and now I require an alternative substance, an outside situation, to repress a feeling it's already repressed. So that my brain gets tricked into feeling that I'm having a dopamine release when I'm really drinking a double shot of Crown Royal to take the edge off. Or when it's nighttime rolls around and I've repressed my feelings all day, I gotta sneak down to the refrigerator. I'm gonna tell my significant other I'm going to the bathroom when really I'm going to the refrigerator. I gotta open it real quiet so the light barely shows. I reach in there and grab a piece of cheesecake. Or I've stashed. I'm an addict, so I hide food. I hide food. I hide money. I hide alcohol because I'm now sneaking. I'm a chronic addict, overwhelmed doing what I do because I'm out of control. When you become rigorously honest, then you can go into your pantry and throw all this bullshit away. You can let go of some of the situations that you continue to perpetuate over and over. You can get really clear on who you are, and you don't have to be this person that you used to be because you are in the process of change. You're in a place called recovery. You're no longer in control of being out of control. You're in command of your emotional state. You've now moved into a stage of addiction called recovery. You're no longer in an overwhelmed emotional state that keeps an addict doing what he's doing, using the same language. You become very clear on the words you use and begin to change your language style. You begin to change your language style. Mythically, magically, all of a sudden the word commit starts to show up in your communication. You actually are committed. You commit yourself one day at a time to changing the way you've been changing. You actually start to commit to operate in dedicated blocks of times. You begin to understand that this overwhelmed state you've lived on has created collateral damage. You start to understand that being out of control has you living in chaos and drama. It means that you live in an unorganized, undisciplined state, and you no longer say, I don't know where to start. I'm starting here. And you start with the simplest common denominator one day at a time. You also begin to breathe. You begin to breathe deeply. You begin to take deep breaths, because once you start to do that, you change the way the neurons that wire in your brain fire together. You start to change an emotional word called the feeling. You start to change the way you feel about yourself. It starts to change your brain chemistry. It changes your emotional state. It changes your emotional etheric vibration. You move from anxiety and overwhelm past doubt into awareness. Once you become emotionally and chemically aware of why you do what you do, you'll begin to change why you attract. You stop lying to yourself and saying, you know, one day, somehow, mythically, magically, I'm going to quit this job. You know, one day, I'm going to leave this relationship that doesn't serve me. You stop lying to yourself, well, you know, I got to stay in this relationship because of the kids. When the kids are coming to you going, Dad, Mom, when are you guys going to separate? When are you going to do this? Well, you know, I got to stay in this for the kids. I got to stay in this for my sales manager. I got to stay in this job because these people count on me. These are the lies an addict tells himself. You know, I can't really sell this house because I couldn't find another one. My credit's so bad, I'm just going to sit here and squat. You know, this is how an addict talks to him. This is addict chatter. This is critical behavior. This is judgment. This is how an addict communicates with himself. An addict always wants a little more. An addict lives in the future tense, mythically, magically, because somehow, some way, Sir Galahad's going to show up. Queen Guinevere's going to ride in and rescue me. My sorry ass is going to get saved by someone because I'm dependent. I'm not independent. I'm not independent of the events that shape my life. I'm dependent on those feelings that keep me emotionally stuck. Now, I'm not only chemically dependent, I'm neurochemically dependent, because who would I be if I didn't struggle? This is how an addict operates. An addict always wants a little more. An addict always wants a little more struggle, a little more sympathy. They want more knowledge. They want more content. They have to know more. How do I? How do I? How do I? These are the signs of addictive characteristics. Now, when you become independent of your addiction and you begin to let go of the people and events that shaped your feelings, then you are you and you are free. As you start to free your mind from your brain and you start to be more than your brain, and your mind-body connection means that you are here and you are now. You are grounded. You are one with. You are innate. As you start to live in that state, then you can attract your reality from the quantum field, the Akashic Records, through synchronicity on command, meaningful situations. And it happens like this. When you begin to let go of your addictive emotional state, gradually a different set of situations, circumstances, and people begin to show up, because you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that neurochemically shaped your feelings. You know, my father came and I didn't know what to say. I was too guilty to address the situation. Why? I mean, why is that? You know, my father came and he was bossing me around over the weekend. Well, why'd you invite him? Well, he was my father. Well, does that mean you should invite your father because he's your father? I mean, you have to get really clear on your circle of influence, who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with other emotionally addicts and you can't separate your feelings from them, or other chemical addicts, or other chronic addicts, or alcoholics, compulsive debtors, compulsive spenders, then you're setting yourself up for a relapse. An addict's worst nightmare in recovery is a relapse, because sometimes addicts never come back. And if you don't want to be in that state, then you have to be consciously aware of who you surround yourself with. You learn not to get seduced or revert back into an emotionally addicted state. You don't validate, justify, and explain yourself to a passive-aggressive addict who requires you to be their counterforce of their force. You're able to let go and neutralize that situation by asking a series of questions rather than going into a long drunkalogue and explaining yourself when someone puts you in an explanation place, because you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. You're no longer the little boy, the little girl who's in trouble. When you let go of feelings of low self-esteem, being in trouble, being judged, being criticized, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to that event. That means you're able to separate your feelings from the event. The event no longer owns you. The events from your past no longer have any significance. When you're significant, events don't have significance. As you start to develop your own separation, your significance, then you become more one with you. Then your mind and your body start to come together. You're one with. That is you. I am here. I am now. Your reflexes change. You have the ability to communicate without checking out. You should start to understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. Well, I don't know what that is. I do. I'll be able to find it for you relatively quickly. That's the value of a 15-minute call if you have the courage to face yourself. Well, I don't want to call you because I might cry. So you've already created the situation before you've even started. That's how most people speak themselves right into existence. They speak future tense about what they don't want to have happen, overwhelming themselves about the probability of what's going to happen because they have so much anxiety what they can't control. They shut down and they avoid. That is an addiction. When you start to understand why you do that is because you can't trust yourself. You found growing up that you couldn't trust other people because they violated. You found out that you couldn't trust yourself because if you said the wrong thing, you might get in trouble. The teacher calls on you when you're daydreaming, and all of a sudden you're daydreaming in an outer body experience, and the teacher reprimands you. You get put in another class because you're called a slow learner. That has an effect on you. All of a sudden, then people start to make fun of you. If you get singled out because you come from a foreign country, you look different, your skin's darker, your hair's lighter, your hair's red, any multitude of situations, you have a lisp, you have an accent, any multitude of situations, then you are called out. Meaning that you are separated, so you don't fit in. This begins a whole lifetime of not fitting in. You're on the outside looking in, wishing that you could be part of the in crowd. But when you're told you're from the wrong side of the tracks, people like us don't succeed, we're poor white trash, we're from some kind of background that doesn't fit in, we culturally don't fit in, then you don't fit in. And that becomes part of your neurology, that becomes part of your identity, and then that's who you are. Then all of a sudden you're a grown-up, you wake up one day, you go, I want to be that, I want to do this, I want to quit my job, I want to be in that business, I want to do that, I want to live the good life. You can, but this is what you have to address, the cause that creates the effect of why you avoid what you avoid. When you enter into a new engagement with yourself called the new, and change, then you're going to meet some resistance because your ego is going to do everything in its power to say, don't leave me. I own you. No, no, no. You're staying in this relationship. This is all you get. No, 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 no. You do not get to have a soulmate. You get to have a cellmate, not a soulmate. You have a cellmate that you live with, no intimacy. You have a cellmate in your job with a boss who doesn't recognize you. That's your cellmate. You do not get a soulmate. And then if you continue to tiptoe quietly through this life, waiting for Sir Galahad to ride in, they never ride in. You got to find your own horse. That's exactly what you got to do. This isn't a one-horse town. There's plenty of horses. Get on one and ride away from your past. You don't run away from your past, but you separate yourself from the past. It creates the same set of feelings that you perpetuate over and over to be emotionally and physically addicted. As you begin to let go of the events that shape your feelings, and also address your codependent issues. Your codependent issues are typically about how you've been conditioned to behave and take care of others. Taking care of others, you may have had to do that. That's part of your identity. That's understandable. You had to step to the plate, be a grown-up as a child. You had to do certain situations you shouldn't have done, you did them. That is commendable. But you can't continue to enable the planet, over-obligate yourself, so your most valuable commodity, time, it is a very, very low commodity. It means you have very little of it. If you're a chronic over-obligator, over-giver, over-server, then you come last. Well, you have to let go of your guilt for doing that. Guilt is one of the most lowest transmutations of energies that will rob you of your feelings and lead to your addictive state. Guilt takes you all the way down the emotional energy state, down to about 50 to 25 cycles a second, where your feelings require being stuffed because you have no esteem. If you have no esteem, you have very low self-esteem. And that low self-esteem screams out, I want something to repress my feelings. When you let go and take a deep breath, your brain gets the same charge that you would get by a piece of cheesecake, a shot of alcohol, a compulsive spending situations, a sexual encounter, or any multitude of situations that will repress your feeling for this syndrome, pleasure for pain. What an addiction does, it gives you an instant gratification for future guilt. That's typically the way the situation plays out. You know you screwed up. You wake up in a blackout and you go, oh my God, what did I do? Well, every time I touched alcohol for about the last 5 years of my drinking, ended up the same situation, blacked out. The last 1 year of my drinking, I was relegated, not only being a closet drinker, but an apartment drinker. I could not leave my apartment because I could not control what would happen if alcohol reached my lips. I'd graduated all the way down to the bottom of addiction to a gallon of Papa vodka. At that time, it was about $8 or $9 a gallon in a plastic bottle. I'd graduated from Finlandia, Stolichnaya, and Absolut back in my day, all the way down. I went from designer vodkas to rot gut vodka. It didn't matter what it was. I just wanted to get off. I occasionally would drink Listerine. I remember having conversations with NyQuil. It didn't matter how bad it tasted. It was 18% alcohol. It could get the task done. Sleeping pills could do the job. Any multitude of situations to release the pain I was in. I would be in so much anxiety and so pissed off and so angry that I realized I couldn't drink the edge off. I'd grind my teeth. There was almost no pulp left. And that's what an addict does. Now, if you're in a situation that you can't maintain your sobriety, then you're probably a chronic relapser. It means you're a maintenance addict. It means you get started in a business and you go balls to the walls. You go, oh, my God, I'm going to crush this. And what you crush is you end up crushing your pelvis because you sit on it so much. Eventually, you spend so much time getting excited. You get so excited about getting excited, you get overwhelmed in your excitement, and then you shut down. You got so much juice you can't perform. You're so brilliant you can't monetize your brilliance. You got so much energy you deplete yourself in how much energy you got, and you never get around to the very methodical, systematic, one day at a time, methodical approach to being and staying in business. If you're so excited, jack sideways, you can't contain yourself, you've exhausted yourself before you started. If you get so overwhelmed about how you're going to control the business, how you're going to manage the people, what's going to happen when they get started, what you're going to say when someone joins you, you're done before you started because you're so overwhelmed, you are shut down. That's when you begin to take long, deep breaths. You might practice yoga, tai chi, meditation, you go see a hypnotherapist, you can call me to be your coach, any multitude of situations, but you have to learn how to let go. Letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. Letting go is a decision and a commitment based on deciding that you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. Letting go means you're separating yourself from what you hold on to. In letting go, there's no more yeah buts. Letting go is a relaxed brainwave state called alpha delta, where you can turn the engine off at night. You no longer stay up and look at the ceiling. You don't talk yourself into staying up all night. You don't tell yourself you're nocturnal. You're a night owl. You're able to rest rather than toss and turn. That's part of recovery. When you are so relaxed in your process, you're relaxed in your body that you don't worry. You're not anxious. You don't try to control the control of the future that hasn't happened. You don't spend so much time biting your nails trying to figure out how you're going to pull it off. You don't spend a lot of time in an overwhelmed state in the clutter and chaos you create. You start to clean up your act. You clean up your apartment. You clean up your house. You clean out your closets. And most importantly, you start to throw things out. If you're a clutter addict, a shopaholic, you've got so many clothes that don't fit. You've got all this stuff all around you. It's time to let go. The best time to let go is now. The best time to quit a job is not when you're ready. It's today. If you're considering quitting your job, quit it. And what am I going to do? You're going to produce. Put yourself in a position to win, not a position to lose. Most addicts continue to lose because they're losers. That's what they've relegated down to. Not as human beings, but as an addict. You become chronically addicted to pathologically lying to yourself. You keep telling yourself when you're going to do something. That's a lie. You'd have to get honest with yourself. You're going to leave that relationship, leave that job. You're going to let go of this. I know some of you are going, this dude is talking to me. I am. I'm talking to you because this is how I used to talk to myself. I used to live in the future. Oh, I'm going to go to France one day. I'm going to live the good life. I'm going to buy a Mercedes. Oh, my God. When I own my restaurant, my service is going to be off the charts, dude. I'm going to have the best restaurant you've ever seen. It's going to be called Shea Jill. It's going to be in Cobalt. I'm going to have five-star dining, valet parking. I'm going to drive a Bentley and a Rolls right up front. I'd get so seduced by what I was going to do one day that I could never get off the launching pad. And then I'd get so disappointed in myself, I'd guzzle vodka and throw down pills just to take the edge off. That's what an addict does. An addict always wants a little more. It's amazing. Some addicts can take on so much food. They can take on so much, all of it, that they think they're inhuman. They think they're superhuman because, oh, it didn't affect me. I'm the man. I'm the woman. That's a lie. You're human. You're so intoxicated in your emotional state that you can't even get started. That's what a chronic avoider is. Then when you start to get really clear, you want to start to develop your health and nutrition because you have done a lot of collateral damage to yourself as an addict. You spend a great deal of your time in your head, and that affects your immune system, your adrenal system, and your lymphatic system. You unequivocally require colonics, detoxing, fasting, a different kind of food. You require a clean food diet. You let go of the sugars, all the other situations. You stop eating dessert. You stop binge eating. You stop overeating. You start taking care of your body. You start a very relaxed exercise program. You start to address the weight you carry. You start to exercise at the same time, same routine. You cut back on certain situations that you used to binge and indulge on. You cut back on your alcohol consumption if you're not an alcoholic, but if you have to have wine with every meal, and you're entitled to have that, but you start to also have a better understanding of what you are putting in your body. Your body requires great fuel. It requires great food. It requires exercise. And not only that, you start to exercise your mind. You become much better and much clearer with your word choices. You start to use words that have commitment, and words of decision and commitment. You start to use words that are decisive. And you become aware of what you say. Your self-talk changes. You become much healthier in the way you communicate with yourself. This is what changes your emotional vibration. This is what changes your awareness. It changes your awareness. You start to love yourself unconditionally. You're less critical, less judgmental of yourself. You're a lot more accountable of yourself. You follow through on your word. You stop lying to yourself. You become rigorously honest with yourself. And no longer, your follow-through changes. You stop using words like should and could, try and wish, and you commit. You commit and you follow through on your commitment. You commit one day at a time. And then as this happens, this is step 11, what I covered tonight, then you start to experience joy and bliss. And in that state, you start to raise your vibration from around 180 to 190 to 200 to 250 to 300 cycles a second. You start to operate 300 to 500 cycles a second. That's a whole stage of enlightenment. And that attractor factor, a whole different set of circumstances, situations, and people begin to show up. They show up not because you've shown up, because you're honest with yourself. When you become honest, rigorously honest with who you are and what you do and what you're being, you start to attract other people. Have you ever noticed how people go, to be honest with you? I mean, what does that even telegraph? Does that mean you're not going to be honest? I had someone say, to be honest with you, five times in a conversation. I finally asked them, by telling me you're honest, why do you have to tell me that? If you keep telling me you're honest, I doubt your honesty. If you have to see, this is what a lot of people do in their communication style. They're not even aware of what they say, what they're communicating with themselves, and what they're saying and who they're being. Now, in this state, this is number 12 on the 12 steps to overcoming an addiction, you live recovery. You become recovery. You are recovery. Recovery is a constant state. Does that mean I can't drink? Well, that's up to you to decide. But for me, it's one day at a time. I'm not going to teach myself how to drink. I'm not going to teach myself how to be a maintenance addict. I'm teaching my brain how to be in recovery. Recovery is a one-day-at-a-time process for the rest of your life. But if you go, oh, my God, I won't have any fun. Actually, you'll have so much fun in recovery because you won't be relapsing. You won't be in control of the control that keeps you out of control. You typically don't get arrested in recovery because you don't do dumb things. You don't make the same mistakes you made as an addict. You don't black out. You don't live in denial. You don't run up hundreds of thousand dollars worth of credit card debt. You become aware of what your mortgage is. You start a process in recovery of paying your debts off. You start to become accountable for your money. You become accountable for your word. Your word is your law. You are living and breathing recovery. And in that type of situation, you're attracting to your reality people and situations that will foster this recovery. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's been my unequivocal privilege to share with you on this Tuesday night before this great holiday in America, Memorial Day weekend. for those of you who are going to pay tribute to our veterans who have fought in foreign wars and served our country with dignity and grace, I admire you. Have a great holiday weekend. I want to thank you, for each and every one of you, for being great friends, great clients, customers. Follow me and people of influence and affluence. I want you to know how much I appreciate you from the center of my heart. It is people like you who are creating the differences, and people are beginning to follow. There's a great movement in America, Canada, Australia, and around the world right now. It's called free enterprise. People are not able to pay their bills, pay their mortgages, and be able to create a good life by trading time for dollars in many of the jobs they hold. We provide great opportunity for them, and as being an agent of change, a change agent, you are actually fostering change. I want to thank you and give you credit for the credibility you are bringing to free enterprise, for being the person you are becoming. Have a great evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. If you want to contact me for a free 15-minute coaching session, 209-932-0227. Have a great evening, everyone.